Well, all this week we've been talking about science and featuring different scientists on the cutting edge of their respective fields here in the United States. Today, astrophysics. Ellen Stofan is the chief scientist of NASA, and she is with us now. And Ellen Stofan, give us a sense of a few of the most exciting scientific frontiers at NASA right now.
Well, you know, at NASA, obviously, we study everything from our changing planet to the behavior of our sun to the mysteries of the universe to what's going on all the planets of the solar system. But if you want a theme that really unifies all those, it's really this fundamental question that we have of, are we alone? Is there life beyond Earth? So from in astrophysics, our search for planets around other stars, to our studies of Mars, looking at the moons of the outer solar system like Europa and Enceladus, it's really all about, can we figure out if there's life beyond Earth?
And do you think that we are going to find the answer to that by landing on a planet or by looking out into space at other planets and we'll be able to see from a distance?
The answer to that is yes. So it's actually both of those. So it depends on the problem. You know, when we're talking about extrasolar planets, it's really hard for us to get around the how far away these planets around other stars are. So with our James Webb Space Telescope, for example, that'll launch in 2018, we're going to start studying the atmospheres of these planets around other stars, looking for gases like oxygen, methane, carbon dioxide that would be consistent with a planet being inhabited. Now, that's certainly not proof of it, but at least it gets you to the point where you can see, say, here are some potentially habitable planets around other stars. But frankly, we're still about, you know, at least 20, 30 years away from having the technology to image planets around other stars. When it comes to our own solar systems, when we think about Mars, we're really looking for fossil evidence of life, and unfortunately not very large life, but fossil microbes. So I certainly have a bias, and it's certainly not NASA's plan right now, that we're going to need actually humans on the surface of Mars, not just any humans, but astrobiologists, geologists, cracking open a lot of rocks and looking for evidence of past life on Mars. When it comes to Europa, ultimately we're going to have to land on the surface and make some measurements trying to seek signs of life. So it depends on – your technique depends on what your target is.
What is the biggest obstacle today in the kinds of things that you're studying? What do we not know that you really need to figure out first to get to the next level?
There's so much that we don't know. When I go out and talk to school kids, I like to tell them, oh my gosh, you know, everything is out in front of you from us, you know, figuring out a propulsion system that'll get us faster out to those planets around other stars to really trying to understand what are the over 2,000 planets we've now discovered from Kepler? What are those planets going to tell us about how planetary systems form? How common, really, are habitable planets? How easy is it to get complex life like us? Because life formed so quickly here on Earth, we think that life might be common in our even in our solar system, in the universe. But complex life, things like us, that took a really long time on Earth. Is that the situation elsewhere? We really don't know. We're really on this verge of being able to understand at least the basic question of where else could life have evolved in our solar system.
I'm sure that you in your daily life run into people who are amazed by what you do and think it's fantastic and think that it should be funded as much as possible. There are also other people in this country who don't see the same value in sending people into space or sending probes deep out into the universe. What is the case that you make to those people about why it matters to us as Americans that you're doing the work that you're doing?
You know, if the fact that we're trying to answer this fundamental question of are we alone, if the fact that with our earth science data we're doing things like helping farmers get higher crop yields and use less water, if the fact that we publish a book every year that's about an inch thick on spinoffs of NASA technologies that don't go into the aerospace industry. They go into industries that help save lives, help companies save money, help small businesses start all over this country. It's actually estimated for about every dollar spent at NASA, about $4 is return to the U.S. economy so that when you invest in space, you're actually investing in your country. If that all doesn't get them, I like to talk about the inspiration. You know, I really do think it's a fundamental part of human nature to explore. But more importantly, when you want kids to go into fields that help build your economy, like science, technology, engineering, math, computer science, you know, if you want kids to go into those fields with technology, space is something that inspires them to follow those careers.
What inspired you? Why'd you get into this line of work?
I'm a hard person to ask that question to because I'm actually a NASA brat. My father worked for NASA. I went to my first launch when I was four. It didn't affect my sister. She's a lawyer. But to me, exploration science was something I was always fascinated in, and the ability to be part of this nation's space program to move humans out beyond Earth was always my dream. And luckily, I get to do it every day.
That's Dr. Ellen Stofan, chief scientist of NASA. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.